This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Tom Perriello is the congressman from the 5th District here in the Commonwealth, and he joins us once a month to give us an update from his office and joins us on the long line from Washington. Good afternoon, Congressman.
Good morning to you, Coy. Sounds like you're promoting some good things there with the United Way. Thank you.
Absolutely. We are broadcasting live from Keswick Hall. So as I speak right now, I'm looking out over the golf course here, one of the most beautiful places in central Virginia. It's just so pretty.
Well, I'm standing in that whisper room in the Capitol where John Adams is alleged to have kept his head down on the desk, but here everyone whispering. So we each have our locales at the moment.
Hey, Congressman, let me ask you first off. We spoke yesterday with Don Hall, a good friend of mine who's the president and CEO of the Virginia Automobile Dealers Association. And he was talking about legislation now in the House and a companion bill in the Senate that has something to do with auto dealers here in Virginia. Can you shed some, tell us about that legislation from your perspective?
Well, it's moving and shifting a bit quickly, but the overall effort, which is trying to collapse into the financial regs bill or financial appropriations bill, rather, that's going through, is meant to protect a lot of these dealers. I think, you know, there was, in my mind, a very bad decision made to try to shut down the dealers. I think it had less to do with making the industry more competitive than a long-going gripe between the manufacturers and the dealers. And I think a lot of us felt like, you know, this was not a good decision, and we've been trying to come in and find ways to help protect the dealers who are, you know, major civic leaders, good corporate citizens in our communities. And obviously, if the goal here is to try to sell more cars, then shutting down your sale fronts doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Right, and some of these dealers are, you know, these dealerships have been in the business for generations, local business owners, you know, as you say, community leaders making a difference in their community, and the Wall Street guys come in and decide, okay, you're gone, here's 3 weeks' notice, you're out of business.
Well, I think it was a combination of some, you know, bad thinking from the Wall Street types, but also, again, I think what a lot of people don't understand is that, you know, I think a lot of the manufacturers feel like they want to have more control over the dealers when the dealers know what they know, which is how to sell cars and how to know quality in an automobile. And if you look at which ones they chose to close, they were closing down some of the most profitable dealerships, basically because they thought they could shut them down, sell them to someone at a very low price in this market, cut a close deal with them, and not have to pay this premium for people who had built up a brand over 30 or 40 years. So, you know, it's the sort of thing that may make sense to some sort of a, you know, management consultant, but when we really understand the community and the industry, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So we're trying to do what we can.
And the end result, of course, is that when you close down a lot of these dealerships, people got to drive a lot further to get their cars worked on.
Well, they do have to go, and I think there's a lot of concern and uncertainty right now. What if you have a warranty or a service contract with a place? And again, in many cases, I think the assumption was that it was the location that could sell it and not the people. And we all know from our community that it's the business leaders and those who have the reputation because they have the character and the commitment to really make these things work. So I think this was, again, just ill-advised by the management consultants and again, a little bit of an old feud with the manufacturers that goes way back. But we're seeing if we can step in with some common sense. And, you know, the auto dealers, including many in our community, have just been excellent on this. They've been well-organized, well-informed, very easy to work with. We're going to see if we can get some results from it here this week.
Well, we appreciate your leadership on trying to rectify that situation. We know there's a lot of business owners across Virginia who've been impacted by that, and in turn, a lot of consumers. Let's move on, if we can, to energy. There's a new energy bill working through Congress, and you have an energy blueprint, and you also have a big event coming up this weekend, I believe.
We do. You know, we are very excited that the Secretary of Energy, Mr. Chu, and the Secretary of Agriculture, Mr. Vilsack, are going to be down with us in the Southside, both talking about this vision of a new energy future, but we also want to show off a little bit because Southside is the best in the country at some of the things we do, biorefineries, food-to-fuel, or farm-to-fuel, rather, truck stop down in Henry County, ModuCraft Homes, the first really energy-efficient modular home system in the country and the best. You know, what's exciting for us about this new energy economy is it's not just a chance for us to sort of eke something out. We're actually starting to talk about being the best again in an area that's been very economically hard hit. Our farmers have basically been offered table scraps for two generations, just enough to get by. But now we're looking at multi-use systems where we're going to have multiple bites of the apple for the farmers to make money. We're looking with working with poultry farmers and dairy farmers on how to turn manure into power and still actually have a fertilizer, a low sulfur fertilizer coming out of that. So you're getting to sell the power, you're obviously getting to sell the chicken or the dairy, and you're getting that byproduct fertilizer in something that is actually less damaging to the Chesapeake Bay and other watersheds. So this is a really exciting time, and obviously there are huge national security implications of this as well. So we're excited about that. And you know, one thing to understand about Akoi is that this idea didn't come from me. It came from people across Southside and Central Virginia. As you know, when I started campaigning, the first thing I did was I just listened. For several months, I just went out and had conversations with hundreds of business leaders, entrepreneurs, manufacturers, farmers, chambers of commerce, educators, trainers, and said, what is it that we can do in the high-growth areas like Charlottesville and Lynchburg region to build on the success? And in the areas where we've had job losses, what can fill that in? And this kept coming up over and over and over again, these opportunities for the next generation of farming, advanced manufacturing, energy efficiency technology, and we are just really excited about the opportunities with this.
We're talking with Tom Perriello. He's the congressman from Virginia's 5th District, and we're honored to have him on the long line live from Washington. I'm broadcasting live today from Keswick Hall to celebrate the upcoming Keswick United Way Golf Classic on July 27th, Monday, just a week from Monday. Congressman, we were talking earlier this week with a friend of mine, Bree Rahm, who works with the Wind Energy PAC, and we were talking at length, getting some details about these offshore wind farms. Delaware, I believe, is building one now. And Virginia, perhaps one day, might have something like that. But what interested me most was not the green aspect of it, but was the manufacturing jobs that would be part of this new economy. And, you know, I think of Southside Virginia and all these wonderful, talented folks and those good manufacturing jobs that could be here in Virginia if we saw Washington take wind energy, for example, just as one example, more seriously and get behind it. Then you would see the industry come on board with all of these jobs that could be here in Virginia.
That's exactly right. In fact, we were the leaders not only in wind energy production, but in manufacturing the equipment back in the early 80s. And then when we went away from a new energy policy, we lost that. And now we're down in eighth or ninth place and not the manufacturing. So we want... This new energy economy isn't about just switching from one fuel source to another. It's about getting manufacturing and production of that technology back here. If you think about this, you know, in terms of wind technology and things that can be taken to scale, advanced battery manufacturing, all these hybrids that are just moving off the lots, even at a time where car sales are low, none of those batteries are made here in the U.S. We want those to be made in Southside and Lynchburg. We think the nuclear industry, biofuels, and other areas have just tremendous potential. And you take this example of the truck stop in Henry County. It's not just going from this diesel fuel from the ground to canola oil. It's also the fact that now every time you go to that pump, 93 cents of every dollar you spend there stays in the community, as opposed to about 92 cents on the dollar leaving the community. So this is also about getting back to, you know, in the same way that our community banks have been solid when the big banks have been a disaster, you know, getting back to keeping that money invested in the community. So we want the manufacturing. We want that profit cycling into the community. We can do that, and that's how we rebuild this competitive advantage for a new century. So it's a very exciting time. But we are talking about change, and change can be very scary. It introduces uncertainty, and I think what we've also tried to do is make sure we're looking at a transition. So the phase-in times are quite slow, but it is a long-term market signal to do this. And I want to give credit to the Republicans on this, too, because the strategy we're using of cap-and-trade or tradable permits is actually a Republican idea. It was the first President Bush that invented this system to deal with acid rain, incredibly efficient and successful system. It was former Senator John Warner, McCain, and others who really saw this idea of a market-based system for dealing with climate as being the right way to do it efficiently. I think, you know, a good idea doesn't have to have a D or an R next to it. It's just whether it's a good idea. And I think that's where we are with this, is we try to get the best ideas out there to reward innovation, reward success. We are still better at innovation than any other country in the world, and that's what we want to build on.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello, live from Washington. We're honored to have him on the program. You mentioned earlier about an appropriations bill that just today is, are they voting on it today, or is it what's happening today?
Oh, well, we never quite know. There are all sorts of procedural tricks being played by the minority party, and I guess whichever party's in the minority does it. But we are looking at the appropriations bill for the financial sector, and this is a chance to finally get more of the investigators and others in there to go after the speculators and the con artists and some of the derivative game playing. But people are also adding on issues related to abortion and D.C. statehood and auto dealers. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate here that we don't do more up or down votes. So we'll see what does and doesn't come to a vote today, but that's what we're in the process on.
Now, you have a funding request in this appropriations bill. Can you tell us about, it's about new technology, right?
Well, we have a number coming up in this series, both for the Charlottesville area, Danville, Henry County. A lot of them have to do with advanced battery manufacturing, like we were talking about, looking at the battery storage and replacement systems. We think this is going to be an enormous market in the years ahead. We want to make sure that technology is made here in America, and ideally right here in Central and Southern Virginia. So we have a number of requests in about that, and we'll see if we're able to make them successful. You know, what I ran on was we need to look for game changers, things that aren't just, you know, Band-Aids, but things that really help create new competitive advantage. And I think we have a great opportunity in Southern and Central Virginia to be at the cutting edge on this new energy technology. Things like the Institute for Advanced Learning and Research in Danville, New College Institute in Martinsville Higher Ed Center in Halifax. We have this great band across the South. We obviously have UVA. This is that opportunity, and we want to build on it.
We're honored to be talking with Congressman Tom Perriello, live from Washington. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. Congressman, let me ask you about health care reform. We learned recently that it looks like the administration wants something to happen sooner rather than later, and exactly what that would happen, we're not quite sure.
Well, I think this is a situation where it's more important to get it right than to get it done right away. You know, I've done meetings with over 100 doctors, nurses, and hospital administrators in the district trying to get as much advice as we can. And, you know, almost everyone agrees that the current system is just not sustainable, whether that's because it rewards procedures over prevention, whether it really makes primary care almost not affordable to provide, but also whether we're encouraging, incentivizing the personal responsibility to get obesity rates down and other things. So there are a lot of problems people cite in the system. But I think what's been frustrating for me so far is that I believe this should be about saving money, not spending more money, in the healthcare system, where we are already paying far more than other countries while our health indicators are below it. So I want to make sure we're not just trying to throw more money in to prop up a broken system, but we're actually doing reform, which seems to be what the doctors and the hospital directors and, of course, the patients and senior groups want the most. So I want to make sure we take our time to get this right if we're going to do it.
Congressman Tom Perriello is my guest. Can you give us an example of some of the things that you would like to see included in a healthcare reform package as it might become law here this year?
I'm sorry, I lost you there. Are you saying what would I like to see in the reforms?
Yeah, what are some of the elements of a healthcare reform package that you would like to see included?
One thing I think we are, we're seeing a shortfall of about 45,000 doctors and nurses providing primary care over the next 10 years, which means whatever the system is, even the current one, you're looking at longer waits and less prevention out there. I think we need to be incentivizing people to move into primary care Some of that's about, you know, loan forgiveness programs for doctors and nurses, but it's also the level that we reimburse Medicaid and other expenditures where many doctors take in order to serve certain populations. Two, we have got to get the cost of the administrative and overhead costs down. About 23 cents on every healthcare dollar is going to these insurance companies, whereas Medicare and Medicaid operate at about a 2% level. I think part of that is about universalizing billing to reduce paperwork, putting in standards of care that can help with some of the litigation aspects, as well as the defensive medicine costs. So those things, I think, are going to be very important to have in there, as well as to help patients have a clearer choice across the board. We think that if economists say if we do this right, right now what's happening is an insured person, you know, like my brother who's got four kids, he's paying somewhere between $1,000 and $1,500, essentially a tax every year that's higher premiums to cover the uninsured, because that's how hospitals and others do it. They just shift that cost onto people who have insurance. So we have to figure out a way to get the insured onto the rolls so that those who are paying for their insurance aren't having to shoulder that burden and shoulder it in the worst possible way, which is paying for them in the emergency room at a very high cost. So we've got to figure out a way to get those folks who are paying 5 cents on the dollar in the hospital system up to cost or near it in order to take that burden off of the middle class that has insurance and just can't afford to keep it any longer.
And that's the big misconception, isn't it? There's so many people right now saying, I don't want reform package because I don't want to have to pay for somebody who doesn't have health care. But if you have health care, you are already paying for the folks who don't have health care. It's built into your bills.
That's right. Absolutely right. And, you know, I if we can figure out a way to do that, I'm all for it. I have not yet supported any of the proposals that are out there because, again, I fear that they do a little too much of just putting, you know, spending more money to try to solve the problem instead of trying to solve the underlying reforms. So I think that this idea of doing it for $1.5 trillion misses the point. I think there's a way to do it that saves trillions and saves thousands for those families that are already insured. So yes, you do. It's in Virginia, it's about $1,100 that every insured family pays to cover the uninsured. If you talk to a hospital director, they'll show you the chart and show that basically they take all the profits from the insured and use it to cover the uninsured. That's their equation of whether they make money or not. You have something like UVA Hospital, about 10% of their costs right off the top, about $100 million a year maybe, are going to cover the uninsured. But you also realize, Coy, that if you go through the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit there, we have these babies that we are keeping alive. It is miraculous medicine, and we should congratulate ourselves for that. But the price of having done prenatal care to prevent that child from having to be born into the NICU is tens of thousands of savings for every time we do that. You know, a visit that might be worth $30 versus the NICU stay that might be worth $200,000 to $300,000. Don't quote me on those stats, but you know, it's that kind of ballpark where we are not figuring out the way to get people in there for that preventative medicine. Instead, we're paying through the roof for crisis care. So what we aren't doing is shifting from, you know, sickness care to health care, which is really what we want to do.
My guest is Tom Perriello, Congressman from Virginia's 5th District. Before we let you go, I'm just wondering, you've been so focused since you've been in Washington on economic issues and bringing an economic vitality back to the 5th District and lending your support to those efforts and energy reform, health care. What's on your back burner? I'm curious if there's something that you haven't gotten to yet that you're perhaps looking forward when you have some time to focusing on down the road.
Well, talk about health care reform. I've probably put on about 15 pounds since becoming a member of Congress, and I'd really like to start exercising again, but we'll see when we get to that. No, I think the thing that really in the background I'm working on the most is veterans issues and being on that committee and having a chance to really do some great work with our veterans on vocational and skills training programs, job opportunities, having a double-digit unemployment rate for our returning vets right now. Is just not acceptable, and that's just one of those things that really makes it worthwhile. So I'm hoping that once the humidity drops a little bit, I'll get back to leading a slightly healthier life, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Tom Perriello, the congressman from Virginia's 5th District, here in the Commonwealth, joins us once a month on this program to update us about things going on in his office. Congressman, always an honor to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good luck with the charity event.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.